chapter 16. We're going to get cranked up. Amen, this evening. And while you're turning, just a few announcements. Amen. As we get off into this word. Amen. Hallelujah. Just remember, it's a regular week in Philly, and so we'll have Thursday prayer. Amen. On Thursday night. Starts at 6 p.m. Hallelujah. We talked about leaving a legacy on Sunday. How many people enjoyed that message? Amen. Y'all enjoyed that? Amen. My prayer is that we just wouldn't talk about it, but that we'd actually be about it. Amen. If you're here, amen, and you had not prepared yourself adequately in the form of life insurance, amen. I showed you some of our brothers and sisters who were able to assist us in that. Amen. We'll have a table out on Sunday. Amen. Where you can kind of get some information, put your information down, because we just don't want to talk about it, saints. We'll hear a good word and let it pass, and then one of us will die and have to sell some chicken dinners. Amen. Let's not just be hearers of the word. And so when you come Sunday, there's going to be a table out there, and there's also going to be a representative. Amen. And what we're going to do is we're going to have all the people that's agents, licensed for life insurance. We're going to get them to work together. In fact, on Thursday, there's going to be a brief meeting for all those who are licensed in Philadelphia to sell life insurance. Amen. It's going to happen after Thursday evening prayer. So at 7 o'clock, you come. Amen. And we're going to discuss the particulars on how we can properly cover the people of God. So we won't have to go beg nobody for nothing. That's a bad testimony, amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we really want to do this thing right, amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, I want to leave a legacy. That's right. Hallelujah. All right. Love, I had any other announcements? That's it. All right. Well, listen, let's go ahead and look at our scriptures for tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Amen. And we want to look at verse 15. And we're going to get cranked up. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I just feel a reverence for God right now. I just feel like I need to be still in his presence, you know. I feel like we just need to just bask in his presence. Amen. Can you feel the spirit of the house tonight? Can you feel it tonight? Amen. Amen. There's a spirit of the house in here tonight. Amen. And so we're going to talk about some serious things tonight. We're going to talk about, amen, how to live this thing out. How not to be an Absalom and how not to be an Ahithophel. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into the word and see what God has for us tonight. As we look at 16, amen, starting at verse 15, amen, I'm going to just kind of read and you can just follow along with me. The Bible says, and Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was coming to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son as I have served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he had left to keep the house, and all of Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you'd add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the exposition of your word. Give your people, Lord God, acute attention and help us not to leave one morsel fall to the ground, God. We want to be made better tonight, God. So we pray you do it by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in 2 Samuel, amen, and we've been studying David's flight from Jerusalem. We noticed that his son Absalom actually stole the kingdom with all kind of pretended stuff. And a messenger came to David and told David, listen, Absalom is on his way and all the hearts of Israel is after him. And so David decides to flee the city, y'all, instead of subject the city to siege warfare, famine conditions. And we talked about David's flight. We talked about how he met people on the way, some who would help him out and some who would be a distraction and try to harm him. We talked about Ittai, David's Gentile friend who would not leave his side like Ruth. We talked about Zadok, who wanted to be with David with the ark and the Urim and the Thummim. And David told him, go back to Jerusalem so the nation can still have the articles of the Most High God. We talked about Hushai, if you remember, how he wanted to be with David. But David said, nah, Hushai, you're going to be a burden to me. I need you back in the king's house so you could tell me everything that's going on. And remember, this is a part that's going to be critical for tonight. Hushai. We talked about Ziba coming at David, lying about Mephibosheth. David buying it hook, line, and sinker, deceived by Ziba, and he begins to act rashly against Mephibosheth. We talked about how Shimei cursed David and how Abisha wanted to chop his block off. Anybody hear me up in here? But David's men surrounded David. And David said, Abisha, let him curse. We heard how the cursing, David said, that was even from the Lord. And that if David would handle it right, God would requite David good. We also talked about bad counsel. Somebody say bad counsel. And that's the series that we're on right now. We saw how Absalom came to Jerusalem last week. And in that, we noticed that Absalom just walked into the city without a fight. Without any other struggle, he inherited everything with no problems. And so in that, we began to talk about the prosperity of the wicked. And we saw how, just like Absalom, sometimes people who not living right can actually appear more blessed than the people of God. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen? And so we talked about the prosperity of the wicked. We actually turned to Psalm 73 and we looked at it, amen, and David was saying, I almost lost my religion. I almost slipped. I almost fell. And he said, I almost until I went to the sanctuary of God. Amen. And something touched David in the house of God. And we asked the question, God, why do you allow the wicked to prosper? And we gave two answers last time. Repentance and judgment. Repentance, because it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. Judgment, just in case they don't repent, he has them high enough up so that he can slam them down before all. And so, saints of God, it don't matter how much you have. If you don't have Jesus, you better get him fast. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! All right, saints, we're going to continue in this series. We covered point number one, Absalom came to Jerusalem. And so tonight, let's talk about Hushai, David's friend. Say that with me. Hushai, David's friend. The Bible says in verse 16, and it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. So here we have it, Miss Amisha. David leaves the city. Absalom and his men come in. He's sitting as king in David's throne. Amen. He done hijacked his own daddy's throne. The Bible says right then and there that Hushai comes in unto Absalom. Hushai walks in. Now remember, Hushai is loyal to David. He was the one in 15:32 who wanted to go with David. But David said, nah, stay. I need you to be my spy. Tell me what's going on in the king's house. This is the same Hushai. And he walks right in while Absalom is on the throne. Amen. And I could just imagine it, y'all. You got Absalom, and now you got Ahithophel. And not only that, you got every single person who hates David. Every single one, Kendrick. All of David's enemies. Because you got to remember that Absalom flattered people who were not satisfied with David's rulership. Anybody hear me up in here? So if anybody had aught with the king, Absalom would go to him, whisper some sweet nothings in their ear, and get them on his side. So now we have a kingdom of wicked folk. A room of people who are despondent, amen, and disconnected from God. Enemies of David, and all of a sudden, Brandon, Hushai walks in. Huh? And I think the air just went thin in the room when Hushai walked in. Hushai was like a Christian in the club. You don't belong up in here. And everybody know it. Anybody hear me up in here? You ever been somewhere where people look and say, you don't belong here? That's how Hushai was. He was a righteous man surrounded by the wicked right then and there. You know? And in the scripture, it says that Absalom is really surprised. And in verse 17, the Bible says, Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? And Absalom is asking Hushai, what you doing here? And you part of us? And Absalom is saying, Shalanda, is this how you're going to treat your friend? And if I was Hushai, I would have said under my breath, boy, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Yeah, I'm David's friend, and it appeared like I done turned my back on him, but you his son. And you done took his throne. I was looking at this, and in my study, Matthew Henry says, he says that, y'all, we can't be surprised that men who are prone to talk about others are often doing worse themselves. And that's what Absalom said to Hushai. You gonna do this to your friend? When he doing worse. And it brought me, saints, amen, to a scripture in Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look at it. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. Because a lot of times, as we're going to see in this scripture in Matthew 7, when we judge another folk, we got some worse things going on in our life. So it's best not to judge nobody. Now, when I say judge, be careful. All right? When I say judge, I'm saying don't judge the eternal state of a person. Don't look at a person and say you going to hell, because you don't know what that person believe on the inside. You don't know what they're going through. Don't you ever be Jesus Christ on the bema seat or on the throne and condemning somebody. You don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right to do that. All right? Because you don't know what they really believe. You don't know that before it's all said and done, they might actually accept Christ and end up in heaven. I don't know about you, but I believe that there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that we're going to be surprised at. Huh? We're going to just take the first few days down to just say, huh? You here? And while you're surprised at some, others going to be surprised at you there. So don't judge the eternal destination of somebody. You know? Don't judge if a person is a good person or evil person, all right? Because you hadn't seen their whole life. And a lot of times, like we say, you can judge it based on one event, on how they treat you. So be careful calling somebody wicked, evil, because you don't know what they've been through, and you don't know where their life is going to take them. That's what we mean when we say, don't judge, you know? This don't judge, Matthew Henry says, try not even to speak evil of people. You know what I'm saying? Put your mouth on people in a bad way. You know? You could say the facts without twisting them and turning them and condemning people and saying that they're not saved and that they're on their way to hell. Just watch the way you talk about people. All right? You know what I'm saying? Now, this judge does not mean that we can't say when somebody doing wrong that we can't call that sin. All right? When somebody doing sin, we could say that that's sin. Amen? We can judge that. All right? When somebody is a preacher or a teacher and their fruit is not in line, we got to judge fruit, y'all. That's the only way you could know who is a true prophet and a false prophet. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. All right? And so a lot of times the world will say, don't judge me. They're saying, don't call what I'm doing sin. And that's a wrong interpretation of that. Right? I'm not judging you. The Bible done already judged whether that's sin or not. I'm just telling you. I'm just coming and rebuking you. I'm just coming in love. The Bible says, if you see a brother in the fault, restore such a one. And that's not judgment right here. All right? That judgment is condemning. That judgment is calling somebody and giving them the status of evil or wicked, speaking evil about people, amen, especially when you doing the same or you doing worse. Minister Absalom was looking at Hushai saying, that's how you going to treat your friend David? When Hushai could have said, but look how you treating your daddy. Y'all see the correlation? Look at verse 2 in Matthew. Amen. It tells us, for with the judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with the measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now Jesus is going into telling us why not to be so hard on one another. And he tells us the same principle, what you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. Meaning that the way you talk about people and treat people and be critical of people is usually the way people going to talk about you and be critical of you. As you judge others, so others going to judge you. And so we got to watch that. And so the question is, do you want people to be merciful to you? Then you be merciful to people. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. There's a beautiful scripture in Genesis 16:12. It talks about Ishmael. And we got to be careful of that Ishmael spirit. Amen. The Bible says about that Ishmael spirit, his hand will be against every man. And as a response to that, every man's hand will be against him. Whatever, however you treat people, is how people going to treat you. And for a person to get friends, he got to show himself friendly. It's just the law of reciprocity here, right? And so you want to watch how you treat people, especially when you find people in their faults. Is that making sense to anybody? Absalom was so quick to judge. What's the second reason we don't judge people? Why? First reason, we're going to get judged back. Second reason, God will be as strict on you as you are on others. And as we look at the next verse in Matthew 7, look at, I think it might be verse 3, Matthew 7, 3, amen. And why beholdest thou, let me see, hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you what, go back to verse 2, hallelujah. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, that's right. And what would measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so Matthew Henry took that as, number one, people going to judge you as hard as you judge others. And number two, God's going to judge you as hard as you judge others. And there's a scripture for that. The Lord says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But the opposite is true. If you don't show nobody no mercy, you ain't going to get no mercy from the Most High God. You see it all over the scriptures when he say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You want to be a person that's laden with forgiveness? Then you be quick to forgive. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Verse 3, he says, why beholdest thou the moat that is in thy brother's eye? That's the splinter, the speck that's in your brother's eye. But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. This teaches us something quickly about sin, Miss Chancey. Amen. There's an aspect of sin where sin is sin. And it don't matter what you do, and that's in the aspect of salvation. And the aspect of salvation, it don't matter which sin that you are part of, all the wages of sin is death. And any sin that you do will send you straight to hell. Amen. From lying to adultery, it really don't matter. If you've broken one of the laws, amen, you've broken them all, amen. It's like shattering a glass. You ain't going to break a piece of it and not shatter the whole thing. So in the realm of salvation, sin is sin. But can I tell you that there are some sins that get under God's skin more than others? And apart from salvation, there's degrees of sin. And Jesus is teaching this. He's saying, you judging your brother when he got a mote in his eye, a small sin, a small one, a speck. But here you go, you got a beam in yours. Meaning that what you're doing is worse than what he doing. And you want to judge him. That's what Jesus is saying here. Y'all still with me out there? You see? Matthew Henry says, it is common for those who are the most sinful themselves to be the most aggressive in judging others. When you find critical people, you can just bet your bottom dollar that they have secret sin in their life when you meet critical people. You see, critical people like the Pharisees who could get on the disciples for not washing their hands before they eat, but who gonna murder innocent people like our Messiah and the disciples after him. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He asks Hushai, is this the kindness that you're doing to your friend? You see? Matthew Henry says this, a person who's critical may pretend, but he is no enemy of sin. He accepts sin in his own life, but attacks it in others. He's no enemy of sin. In fact, he is the enemy of his brother. That's what Matthew Henry is saying. When somebody critical of another Christian and the way they live, they act like they so mad at the sin that's in your life. But when you look at their life, why in the world are they not mad at their sins like they mad at your sins? You hear me up in here? And right then and there, Matthew Henry says, sin is not the real issue. It's not that they hate sin. They hate their brothers and sisters, which is another matter altogether. Because if you don't love your brothers and sisters whom you see, how can you say you love God whom you don't see? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. He says, listen, in verse 4 of this Matthew, and I just want to run through it, man, because I think important to unity, hallelujah, and that's where we at, is that we don't be critical of one another, that we love each other. Now, of course, if somebody doing wrong, hallelujah, we call it sin, amen, but we remember ourselves. The Bible say we restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, right? Look at verse 4. Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and behold, a beam, 2x4, telephone pole, is in thine own eye. Verse 5, look what it says. Thou hypocrite. That's what Jesus called that. He said, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Meaning like if you're doing worse than somebody, you ain't got no room to talk to them. You can't correct them. You can't say nothing about them. That's the judging that Jesus is talking about. Now, here it is, Miss Amisha. If you right in that area and you striving for God in that area, then you have earned a right to speak against that particular sin because that sin don't have dominion over you. How in the world are you going to jump on that man back for a sin having dominion over him and you a slave to the same sin? How in the world are you going to do that? You can't go talking against no man that's on pornography when you're going to go right after you talk to him and be on it. You can't go over here talk about a man beating his wife when you're going to go home and lay your hand on yours. That's what he mean with the judging. Don't judge like that. I tell everybody up here that come teach. If you're going to come teach, amen, you better teach something that you do well and that you know. All right? Lest you be a hypocrite. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Woo! So Absalom said to Hushai, is this the kindness that you're doing to your friend? Once again, pot calling the kettle black. Why wentest thou not with thy friend? Now, this is a sticky question he asks him right here. All right? And what Hushai does, amen, I cannot condone what Hushai does after this. Because Absalom is saying, all right, what you doing here? All right. Now, we all know why Hushai is there. He's a double agent. He's there for espionage. All right. So Hushai, Noel, is about to do what? He's about to lie. All right. And I can't condone that. Scripture don't condone that. In fact, he broke the ninth commandment. He broke the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. He broke the new covenant word in Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. All right? All I could tell you about this is this. When you're in a tough situation, amen, lying is not the way to go. All right? You got to trust God that God's going to protect you. He's going to see you through. Amen. And it might not even look like you telling the truth. Amen. Going to get you to the next level. But it will if you just trust God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Here's the lie that he tells in verse 18. And Hushai said unto Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be. And with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son as I have served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. Hushai put on a show, y'all. Hushai said, I'm going to be as loyal to you as I was loyal to your daddy. And ain't nobody going to love you like I love you because I love your daddy. He come up in there saying, God save the king. But as I was studying, I say, he didn't really say which king for God to save. Anybody hear me? Hallelujah. Hushai was being slick. Now I want to tell you, amen, Absalom is deceived. He don't see through Hushai's espionage. And we ask the question, how could Absalom not believe this? This is one of David's best friends. How in the world could he not see what Hushai was doing? All right? And I want to drop something on you. Amen. Hushai got over on Absalom because of Absalom's pride. Because of his pride. All right? That's what it was. It was his pride. You know? His pride. What you mean, Pastor? Well, his pride kept him from seeing Hushai's main purpose of being that. All right? How did this work? You got to know that your pride can deceive you and trick you into thinking, amen, and doing the wrong thing. You're so high up on yourself that you can't see what's really going on. Matthew Henry says that Absalom is so proud, he believes what he wishes to be true. That's when you're proud. All right? Break that down, Pastor. He's so proud and so much think that he's better than David that he believes that all of David's best friends, generals, counselors, confidants are on his side instead of David's side. Did you catch that? When Hushai walk in, he's kind of like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Who else team you going to be on? I'm the man. I'm better than David. All of his counselors, all of his generals coming up under me, you know. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 3 said like this. It says, the pride of thine heart had deceived thee. And I got a word for you, saints. Don't ever be so proud and lifted up that you fool yourself. Huh? Come on, don't ever be like that. That's an Absalom thing, y'all. And Matthew Henry corroborates that. Don't ever be so proud where you fool yourself. Huh? Whether it's on your job, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your kids. We see parents all the time so proud of the job they're doing as a parent. Oh, my kids are never. You better never say never. Huh? Deceived by your own pride. On the chopping block about to get fired, you're the only one thinking you're the best employee in the company. Huh? Deceived by your own pride. Here you are, amen, about to be cut out of membership at this church. We thinking about whether we should give you communion or not. And here you are thinking, only you, yourself, thinking you up to be associate pastor. Huh? Don't ever let your pride deceive yourself. All right? One of the best things you could do is know yourself. Amen? And when you, glory to God, hallelujah. And when you know your weaknesses, amen, you got to go ahead and write those things down and live up to those things. Huh? He was deceived by his own pride, and it was a way which Hushai could have tricked him. All right? And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. In Matthew 23:12, it says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. To unity of this church is not only, amen, that we should have a spirit that's non-judgmental and non-critical, but we should be a humble church, saints. A church where everybody is low, amen. A church where nobody is expecting to be this or expecting to be that. And anything that God gives us, we say, hallelujah, bless the Lord. We didn't deserve what he gave us. Amen. That's the kind of church that stay unified. The Bible says only through pride cometh strife. Meaning this, Brandon, me and you could never fall out if both of us, amen, not prideful. Even if one of us prideful. And I'm going to put it on me. I'm prideful. And I start coming at Brandon. Brandon, I didn't like that little shirt you had on. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not going to say that to Brandon. Mark looking at me like, boy, you know what I'm saying? You don't know how I box, boy. You don't know how I get down. But let's just say, all right? Meaning this. Look at me, Jenna. Two people can't fall out unless both of them proud. As long as one remain humble, it ain't going to ever be no trouble. Anybody hear me up in here? As long as just one person remain like, nah, I'm not falling out with you. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care. It's not going down like that. You can fuss and loud cap. You can do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? I can't hear you. You see? Pride. Beware of pride, saints. It'll deceive you and it'll destroy unity. Don't think too highly of yourself, lest you fall into the sin of Satan. And that's what Absalom did, all right? And it was pride all over. It was pride to where he going to convince Hushai, he going to convict Hushai, condemn Hushai, and say, that's how you going to treat your friend? His pride kept him from seeing how he was treating his daddy. And when Hushai came in, his pride kept him from seeing the real motive for Hushai. You see, the truth of the matter is that Ahithophel and others like him who were with Absalom, they were not with Absalom because Absalom was so great and because they loved Absalom. They were only with Absalom because they had come to hate David. And that's a tremendous difference. That's a tremendous difference. If you are part of a team and you lead in a group, don't ever lead a group that's only with you because they hate somebody else. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. I done seen church splits happen like that. Splits on the job happen like that. Splits in the family happen like that. And it's not that the people that gather together actually love each other. They just hate somebody else. Why is that a bad idea? Well, eventually, when this person that they hate is out the picture, their hate is going to find another thing to aim at. And it might just be you. You understand what I'm saying? And that's when you get into all kind of mess and all kind of trouble. You know what I'm saying? We could talk to you about some of the scriptures in the Bible. When you go to the book of Judges, there's many stories like that. Amen. Where, hallelujah, people will grab the leadership. Amen. In fact, one of Gideon's sons does the exact same thing. You go read in the book of Judges. And what will happen is, amen, that group, hallelujah, will turn on itself and actually fight against itself and fall apart. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So Absalom, his kingdom was, it was doomed from the start. Amen. Let's look at point number 3, Ahithophel's counsel. And that's where we're going to rest at for a little while. And we're going to pray to God for wisdom on how to deliver this correctly so we can do it accurately, but in a very holy and righteous manner. In verse 20, the Bible says, they all gather together. Absalom is in the kingdom. Hushai is there. Right? He gives Absalom a sweet story. Absalom accepts him in and says, okay, you're part of my royal cabinet, my royal counselors. So Hushai and achieved the purpose for which he went out. Verse 20 begins. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you, what shall we do? Right? Absalom is talking to Ahithophel, but he's also talking to all the counselors in the royal chamber, in the cabinet, including Hushai. And he asks the question, what shall we do? Now we have the kingdom. David is on the run. What is our first move to solidify our position in Israel? You see? Now it's true, saints, that in the multitude of counsel there's wisdom. And in the multitude of counsel there is safety. However, before you ask any human being what you need to do, you should bow down on your knees and ask the Most High. Amen? If Absalom was a real man of God, he would have prayed, just like David prayed. When David, hallelujah, ascended up to the throne, he said, Lord, shall I go up? Shall I go to Hebron? Shall I go to fight the Philistines? And we know that in Absalom's kingdom, David had sent back the ark, the Urim and the Thummim. He could have asked the Lord, amen, through the breastplate and the jewels on it, and the Lord would have answered him. But Absalom was no man of God. He was not really concerned with thus saith the Lord. And so he asked Ahithophel and his counselors. And some people say, but yeah, Ahithophel in verse 23 was like talking to the oracles of God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather talk to God than these oracles. Anybody hear me? I'd rather speak to my God one-on-one than one of his prophets. And that's what Absalom should have done. You see, in verse 21, look what it says. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go into thy father's concubines, which he had left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Whew. What we need to know is that David left 10 concubines when he fled Jerusalem. Pastor, what's a concubine? A concubine is like another woman that David had, all right? Sometimes you get them and they call them wives, amen. But he had a number of wives. He multiplied wives. And the advice of Ahithophel for Absalom is to commit fornication and adultery with all of his father's wives. That's what Ahithophel told Absalom his first move to solidify the kingdom should be. Now, saints, this is wrong on so many different levels. I don't know where to start, right? Number one, David was wrong. Why? You shouldn't have concubines anyway. Anybody hear me up in here? Now, all the ladies going to clap. Praise the Lord. All right? You shouldn't have concubines. What you mean? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:2 that, look what it says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his what? His own wife. And every wife have what? Her own husband. That means no sharing. You know what I'm saying? Janice, you got yours, and she got hers. And everybody happy with that. All right? That's the way of the Most High God. When he created Adam and Eve, if he would have loved polygamy, he would have created Adam with a whole bunch of wives. But he said, Adam, this is bone of your bone. This is flesh of your flesh. He said, the two shall become one, not the five become one, not the ten become one. How many? The two shall become one. Even in Deuteronomy 17, 17, the king was not to multiply wives. David was wrong. It was sin in the eyes of the Most High God. And if you don't know right now, anytime you do things outside of the will of the Most High, it will be trouble. Will be trouble. If David would have never had concubines, Absalom would have never been able to commit this lewd and egregious act. Right? And anytime you got a situation where you have a plurality of lives, you'll see stuff like this. Even back in Genesis, Mark, when Jacob had all them different wives, guess what Jacob firstborn did with one of his father's concubines? Same thing. And Reuben lost his birthright. Reuben lost it all, y'all. His daddy didn't even trust him no more. Judah became the one his daddy looked to. And we praise God for that, but I'm just saying. You know? So David was wrong. Secondly, Ahithophel was wrong. Ahithophel was wrong. Why? How do you fix your mouth to tell somebody to do something like this? Huh? How you tell somebody to do something like, oh, sleep with your father's wife? You know what I'm saying? That shouldn't even come out your mouth. You know? And all I have here is Luke 17:1. All right? The Bible says, it is impossible that offense come into the world. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is it at? It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. That means this. Sin gonna happen. But you better not be the one that come up with the idea for it. That's what God is saying. Sin is going to happen, but don't you plan it. Don't you be the one that's going, hallelujah, get other people to do it. He said, woe to you. He said, woe to you. I'm going to deal with you, he said. So Noah, Ahithophel, hallelujah, wasn't the one, hallelujah, committing the fornication, but it was his idea. And we're going to see how he end up. Because you have people like that. People that won't do it themselves, TP, but they're going to go around shoo-shooing so other people could do it for them. Man, God don't see stuff like man see it. God see the root of a thing. In Romans 14, 13, look what he say. He tell us in Romans 14, 13. Hallelujah. I never could see this side of the board too well. Hallelujah. Let me see. Glory to God. Put my good eye on it, Cole. Hallelujah. Look what he say. Pastor, you got to get that close. That's right. So let's stop condemning each other. Stop judging each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Instead of judging, instead of condemning, instead of being critical, you know what you put your energy into? Living in a way where you don't cause nobody to stumble or fall. Come on, come on, hallelujah. And that's important to unity. All right? If every one of us, Malvo, hallelujah, have on our heart, I don't want to be a stumbling block for my brother. I don't want to do anything. I want to even watch my words around them so I won't cause them to stumble. I don't want nothing that they do to be my idea. Or they hear me talking about glorifying drugs or glorifying perversion, and then just by my words, they fall into sin again. No, I'm going to watch what I say. I'm going to watch how I reflect on my testimony. I'm going to watch how I roll. I'm not going to go around bragging on what I have and what I done acquired and what I do. Why? Because I don't want my brother and my sister to stumble because I know they got a problem with jealousy. So here I am. I'm Facebooking all over about all my... What you doing? What you doing? What you doing? Let another man's mouth praise you and not your own. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. I was talking to the brothers today, you know, and we was talking after prayer. And Philly, I got a word for you, all right? All right? Man, listen, man. You are going to be blessed beyond your wildest dreams. All right? Listen to me now. Listen to me now. But with great blessing come great responsibility, man. When you bless, you can't act like you used to act when you was broke. When you ain't had nothing, you was telling everybody the nothing that you had. And you had people stumbling and jealous of you, amen, and you ain't had nothing. Now God is about to roll in some things on you. Huh? He about to roll it out.
And there you go dropping albums and you're going platinum and you're just all over the place. How you going to act with people around you, man? You got to change the way you act, man. You know how hard it is being around somebody blessed? Ask Joseph and his brothers. Favor ain't fair, y'all. It's fabulous on our part, but it ain't fair to everybody else. And if you going around there with your favor, you out there like Joseph with your coat of many colors. You're going to burn somebody up. So what you do? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Enjoy what you got. Humble yourself. Give the glory to the Most High God. Don't be high capping. I'm trying to prepare you for blessing, Miss Sabrina. I'm trying to prepare you. You see, because if you don't know what I'm talking about and you still proud, hey, God, pride come before destruction. You got to know how to act with it. There's one with no money act like they got it all. And there's some with the money who act like they ain't got nothing. Now, which one you want to be? Huh? Which one you want to be? All right? Don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a Ahithophel. Don't make people fall. That's important to unity. You see? Because watch, minister. We all going to be blessed. We all going to be blessed. Watch, bro. Watch this. We all going to be blessed. All right? Now we going to make each other jealous with our blessings? Huh? Do we love each other enough that when it's your season, you're going to act a certain way until that person's season comes? Huh? That don't mean you don't give God the glory, but you know when you can go over. You know you can go over. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. David was wrong for the multiplicity of wives. Absalom was, Ahithophel was wrong for even letting that come out of his mouth and him being a source of stumbling. But not only that, Absalom was wrong. Well, as soon as Ahithophel say, Absalom, why don't you fornicate with your daddy? Why? He should have said, boy, you tripping. What is wrong with you? All right? Why? What is against the Levitical law? Leviticus 20 in verse 11. I'm not going to read it all. I want to keep it clean. Amen? And some people say, Pastor, I got children here. Yeah, but you don't monitor what they watch on TV. It's better that they learn it here in church. Amen? You worry about what your children, they say, oh, I done heard that already. I done seen y'all cable bill. Listen, so in Leviticus 20:11, look what he say. And the man that lied with his father's wife, and then we just going to skip it, both of them shall surely be put to death. That's how God felt about that. Now listen to me good. We living in a day of mixed families right now. You hear what I'm saying? And back in the day when a husband and a wife and every child was for that husband and a wife, you wouldn't have to really worry about that. Right? But working in the court system, particularly when I was in OCS, amen, in Child Protective Services, I was working in there as an attorney, amen, like that. You'd be surprised at the things that I heard. Where mama bringing a man into their house and got daughters. All right. Listen to me good here right now. If any of that is going on in here or even being thought of, know this, my friend, that it's sin and that God's going to judge it. You keep yourself holy, man. You keep yourself holy, man. You don't do no lewd acts like that, man. That's wickedness, man. That's wickedness. That's not how we get down as Christians. That's not how we rule as Hebrews. That's against nature, friend. You know? You don't try to be with nobody parent. You don't try to be with nobody spouse. You don't try to be with nobody daughter. while you're being at the same time with them. You know? That's wickedness. It's so much wickedness, y'all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It was going on in the Corinthian church. The Bible says that Paul wrote a letter. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And Paul says such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles. Paul says they got some stuff happening in the church that's not even happening in the world, Paul says. They say, what is it, Paul, that one should have his father's wife? Paul said, man, God did don't. And the word on the street was, Paul, we're going to wait till you come so you can handle this and so that you can get this sin right. Paul said, you ain't got to wait for me. You already know what to do. In verse 5, he say, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul was saying, get them out of the church. Get them out of the church. They're doing something like that, get them out of the church. Hand them over to Satan. Get them out from under the covering of the body of Christ. You see what I'm saying? So David was wrong for having the wives. Ahithophel was wrong for making the suggestion. And Absalom was wrong for entertaining it. I got a question. Why did Ahithophel even advise this? Huh? Why did he advise this? Number one, to burn bridges. To burn bridges. What you mean by that? Ahithophel wanted David and Absalom, his son, to be so angry at each other that they could never reconcile again. Ahithophel was afraid that maybe David would come back, make amends with his son. Then where would Ahithophel be? He said, nah. Before we do anything else, we got to make sure that this animosity, this enmity between David and his son is set in stone. So he said, go ahead and fornicate with all the concubines. You see? He comes up with this plan, the Bible says, that he might be abhorred by his father. It was a selfish decision to further split up David and his son. Let me tell you something about this. This was demonic right here. Because the devil does the same thing with us. Don't you know that the devil will try to get you to do things against God that in your heart will make you think that you done burned bridges with God? He'll make you do things so wicked and so bad, kind of just like Ahithophel. Where you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, man, how could I possibly have done that? And who would ever forgive me of such an act? All right? And some people got stuff like that in their past. Where they're like, man, hallelujah, I could never come back. But let me tell you something about the devil. The devil is a liar. Amen? And with our God, you could never burn your bridge with God. The only way you burn your bridge with God is to be adamant in unbelief, amen, attributing the things of God to the devil, in which we call in seminary the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Where you just adamantly refuse God and you don't want him and you die in that state. That's the only thing that God can't forgive, that adamant unbelief. But everything else, though your sins be red as scarlet, God in his blood will wash them white as snow. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Come on, we got a little ways to go. Listen, another reason why Ahithophel advised this lewd act to Absalom was good old-fashioned revenge. Somebody say revenge. Yes. You see, Brian, Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. Remember that, y'all. Don't ever forget that. And he has not forgiven David for what David did with Bathsheba and Uriah and to the family name. Is the reason he left the kingdom to begin with, the reason he wasn't in the council cabinet with David to begin with, and the reason he went to Ahithophel is all because of a root of bitterness, Miss Denise. And because of that root of bitterness, he tells Absalom, the first act you do is to sleep with David's wives. It was a personal thing. How you know that? Well, militarily and strategically, you don't waste no time once you have the kingdom in your hands. David is on the run. He don't even have food adequate enough to take care of himself. You go get the man while the man is weak and down. Before he get to his place where he's trying to get, you go get him. Because once David gets settled where he's supposed to be, he gonna muster men together and the giant slayer gonna be back on the battlefield. So you go get him now. But for Ahithophel, it wasn't just about killing David. It was about ruining his name and putting him through as much pain as possible. And because of that root of bitterness, Ahithophel and Absalom and everybody else with them will fail in their attempt for the kingdom of Israel. Anybody hear me up in here? That's how strong unforgiveness is. That's how strong a root of bitterness is. All right? The Bible says, thereby many are defiled. Meaning that you can have animosity so strong against a person to where every action that you do, every word that you say, every bit of counsel that you give will be tainted and defiled with that vengeful attitude that you have towards that individual. That's why you gotta forgive. So when Absalom goes to Ahithophel and say, what's your counsel? All that can come out of his mouth is get David back. Get David back. Get David back. Sleep with his wives like he slept with my granddaughter. Sleep with his wives. Sleep with his wives. Sleep with his wives. Now, where does Ahithophel suggest that Absalom sleep with his father's wife? On the rooftop. Y'all got to see this, man. Where did David first see Bathsheba? It's beef, man. It's personal, man. David, when you hear about this, you're going to know it was me. And you're going to know why I did it. He's sending a message, man. You're going to see when we get to chapter 17, he is consumed with this revenge. I'm praying for you tonight. That none of y'all be in the state of Ahithophel tonight. That you not here thinking about somebody else while you supposed to be paying attention to Bible study. Huh? Huh? You can't keep a marriage going. You can't keep a relationship going. You can't keep a job. You can't raise your kids. You can't even be good friends. You can't even be a valuable asset in a church. All because of what happened yesterday. A root of bitterness. A root of bitterness. A root of bitterness. Something your last pastor did. And you're going to come here with that root of bitterness, amen, and take it out on everybody in this place. Me and my little wife got a saying at the house. Sometimes when we make a little decision or make a little move and people get burnt up at us for making a decision, amen, based upon what God has given us to manage. We have the right to make the decision. They get burnt up and tear everything up. You know what I'm saying? My little wife say, oh, no, baby. Oh, no. Oh, no. We ain't did you that. You not that mad at us. No, 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 no. Somebody else hurt you, baby. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. You mad at your daddy. That was your mama did you that. That wasn't us. Uh-uh. I didn't do that. You came here with that. You came here with that. And you just acting out because you ain't never resolved that. Are you resolving your issues, man? And even if me and First Lady made a decision that burnt you up, how long you gonna operate in that? We switch the flowers. We do it every season. What you mad about? long? I preach a sermon that got under your skin. How long? How many people been convicted before in Philadelphia? That's right. Join the club. How long? I'm Miss Bob. Everybody get it. You know, and so Ahithophel couldn't even be a good counselor, y'all, because of that root of bitterness that was in his heart. How many wives I'm talking to tonight can't even be a good wife? How many husbands? You know? Look at 22. We almost done. Look at 22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. You see? He fornicated with his father's wives. You see? I guess that would be all of his, like, I don't know, stepmamas, I guess you would call them that. Or I don't know what you would. It's confusion is what it is. And he committed this lewd act in a tent on top of the royal palace. You see? To where all Israel saw it. They knew what was going on as the concubines were. The spirits, they stopped. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say nothing else, Lord. So moving on, you know what I'm saying? But if you see the reason Ahithophel gave this was to burn bridges in revenge as the only reason this action happened, you're going to miss a bigger picture here. Remember, this action happened, number three, this activity happened because of the judgment of God. Yeah, because of the judgment of God. You see, because of the judgment of God. How you know, Pastor? Well, when David did what he did with Bathsheba, the adultery, and he killed Uriah, God came in through the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel 12:11. And the Bible says, thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. Verse 12, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. So don't you dare just see this thing as Ahithophel. And don't you dare just see this thing as Absalom. The sovereign hand of God was in this to give David the just deserts for his actions. God is not a man that he is mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that indeed, my friend, shall he reap. And God made sure of that himself. Don't you come here saying all God want to do is bless me. Boy, God will hurt you if you play with God. He'll hurt you. He'll break you. You'll be crying like a baby when God get finished with you. And when it's all said and done, you can't say nothing about it. You know what you got to do? Three words that I'm trying to my best to teach you in Philly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want you to sin, but if you're going to sin, you better be a big boy and a big girl. And when judgment fall, three words. Did I give y'all that three words in a sound booth? If I didn't, here's the three. Oh, there it is. Take your lick. Take your lick. Take your lick. If you're going to play with God, take your lick, baby. Take your lick. You know what I'm saying? Don't get mad at nobody. All right? All right? Take your lick. Pastor, it's hard to understand. I know it is. There's something called the sovereignty of God.
and the responsibility of man. All right? Meaning that God in his sovereignty is going to declare that David's going to be paid for what he did. He was going to give his wives to another. Absalom would be the man that he would give the wives to. It happened in God's sovereignty, but because of Absalom's sin, he's still going to bear responsibility for his sin. Isn't that something? How God raised up Pharaoh and hardened him, but judged Pharaoh for not letting his people go? Huh? How God will bring Babylon to destroy Israel for the sins of Israel, but after Babylon destroyed Israel, God will judge Babylon for doing what they did. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Meaning that you do wrong and God's going to back up and let somebody with wicked intentions do you something. But in the end, he's going to punish the one with the wicked intentions who did it. That's the Bible, saints. And that's the Most High God we serve. Come on, give him glory, somebody. All right, what's the three words for tonight? Take your lick. That's right. That's right. That's right. Listen, I want to conclude, amen, with how we always conclude in here. And that's with the gospel. Right? And we here tonight, and a lot of the things we've been through are things that we don't really like to talk about. But to be honest with you, that's real life up in here. And the beauty about real life is that when it happens and things go wrong, we have a gracious God that'll forgive us and that'll be merciful to us. I don't know who's in here, and I don't know what you've done or what somebody done did to you. But I got a proposition for you. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest. I got a proposition for you. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I got a proposition for you. God demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. I got a proposition for you. That salvation is close to you, even on your lips. You only have not tonight because you ask not. Be saved tonight. Answer God's call tonight. Woo! Woo! Hey! Don't ignore him. And don't let it ring. Bible says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart in the day of provocation. Come to him while it's time. Admit you a sinner. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, buried in the grave, rose the third day, and open your mouth and confess him as Lord. Be saved tonight. And to the Christian, let it go. Let it go. Come on and let it go tonight. Let it go. Release him. Release him. This thing is going to destroy you. It's a cancer. It's going to make you sick. Forgive him. Forgive him. Pray with me. Say, God, thank you for loving me, for forgiving me. I admit I've sinned. I'm sorry. But I believe you died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose with all power. Lord, save me, a sinner, and forgive me
of all my sins. And Lord, show me the people in my life who I have not forgiven. Show me, Lord, the things that's blocking my blessing. I release it. I release them. I release her. I release him. Forgive me, Lord, for holding a grudge. Set me free tonight so I can live abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.